onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word, and I am Pastor Steve, and this is for Tuesday, October the 25th, 2016. And the topic today is the book of Yahshua, or Joshua in the English, chapter 5, and chapter 6. Now, yesterday we went through 3 and 4, where they went over the Jordan, River, and Yahweh stood the waters up on a heap, and they crossed over on dry ground, repeating basically the miracle of the Sea of Reeds with Moshe. And this is to establish the authority of Yahshua in the eyes of the children of Israel. The first generation that had done the Exodus had all died out except for Caleb, son of Yefunneh, and Yahshua himself. All the other ones had died out. Sinners, and Yahweh said, you're not going to enter the promised land. You've doubted me, you've tested me, you've done things. And they were going to be denied entrance, including Moshe. Moshe had struck the rock instead of spoken to the rock, the second instance of bringing water from rocks. And like Aharon, he was not allowed to come over. So he died, and basically Yahweh buried him. So that's the story on that. Nobody knew, and still don't know to this day, where he was buried. Yahweh did that. So let's get into chapter 5 here, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Emori, those are the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan seaward, that's 32:20. Now they translate that west in a lot of the Bibles, but it truly means toward the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. So it's actually in the word, actually in Hebrew, is seaward. So I will use what is actually in the Hebrew. And all the kings of the Canaanite, those are the Canaanites, which were by the sea, again 32:20, heard that Yahweh had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were passed over, and that melted their hearts. Okay, that means that they were in fear. Their hearts melted for fear. Neither was there any more spirit in them because of the presence of the children of Israel. They were terrified of Yahweh. All right. Verse 2, and here is a repeat of a law, part of the Abrahamic covenant established with Yahweh and Israel. At that time, Yahweh said to Yahshua, make you flint 6864 knives 2719, which were very sharp. The American Indians made their arrowheads and knives and axe heads out of flint, very hard rock, and when you chip it, it becomes razor sharp. Make you flint knives and circumcise 4135 again the sons of Israel the second time, 8145. It'll explain why. Verse 3, and Yahshua made him flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill, 1389, of the foreskins, 6190. They called it that hill, the hill of the foreskins. Pardon me, I have a morning frog in my throat, as usual. And verse 4, and this is the cause, 1697, of why Yahshua circumcised. All the people that came out of Mitzrayim, males, all men of war, died in the wilderness on the way after they came out of Mitzrayim. Now all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came forth from Mitzrayim, they had not circumcised. Verse 6. Because the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Mitzrayim, were consumed because they did not obey the voice of Yahweh, unto whom Yahweh swore that he would not show them the land which Yahweh swore to their ancestors, their forefathers, that he would give us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Okay, and verse 6, you can reference Numbers 14, verses 28 through 35. Verse 7, and their children, whom he raised up in their stead to replace them, them Yahshua circumcised, because they were with foreskins, 6189. They had possessed foreskins. In other words, they were uncircumcised. Because they had not circumcised them on the way. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when they had completed, that's 8552, circumcising all the people, in other words, all the males, that they abode in their places in the camp until they were healed, 2421. Verse 9. And Yahweh said to Yahshua, this day I have rolled away, that's 1556, that's Galal, actually to roll away stones, and it's used figuratively here. This day I have rolled away the reproach, 2781, of Mitzrayim from upon you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal, that is 1537, unto this day. And 1537 means sacred circle of stones. That's where they set those stones up. That's a word play with 1556. Okay, that shows again and reinforces the covenant with Abraham that the males of Israel are to be circumcised. These were not little children. They were full-grown men, and he required that they be circumcised because they were part of a covenant, and that was one of the stipulations of the Abrahamic covenant. Now, I know there's dissension among the ranks out there. Oh, it's not necessary. You do what you want to do. But Yahweh says, if you are an Israelite male, you are to be circumcised. Thus saith Yahweh. Now, you want to argue with Yahweh? You argue with Yahweh. Don't argue with me. I don't want to hear it. Okay? I'm reading what's in the scripture. And if you don't like the scripture, that's on you. Not, I didn't write this. This was written by the word of Yahweh. And if there is dissension, then you dissent with Yahweh. You do not dissent with me. This is not my law. This is Yahweh's law. You have to deal with that. That's why they had to wander in the wilderness and they all died out, because they dissented against Yahweh's law. You know, if you want to learn a lesson from that, I'm reading it to you. If you don't want to learn and you want to do what you want to do, then you just go right ahead. Okay? Verse 10. And the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and did the Passover, 6-4-5-3, on the 14th day of the month at evening. That's the going down of the sun. Right when it gets ready to go full dark, that's when the Passover began. It didn't begin in the morning. It began in the evening. In the plains of Jericho. Of Jericho. In verse 10, you can reference Exodus 12, verses 1 through 13, and the book of Yashar, that's Jasher in English, chapter 88, verse 11. Verse 11, and they ate of the produce, 5, 6, 6, 9, of the land on the morning after the Passover, matzah, that's unleavened bread, and parched grain in the selfsame day. Verse 12, and the man, that's spelled like man, M-A-N, but it's pronounced mon, 4478. It's manna in your King James, but that's not what it is in the Hebrew. It is spelled mon, just like man, M-A-N, 4478. The mon ceased, 7673. On the morning after they had eaten of the produce of the land, neither had the children of Israel man anymore, but they ate of the crops, 8393, of the land of Canaan that year. Now, verse 12, you can reference Exodus chapter 16, verse 35. And the book of Yashar, Jasher, chapter 88, verse 12. They had passed over. And that ended the gift of Man that they had all the time they were wandering in the wilderness. They were no longer wandering in the wilderness. They seized the crops of the Canaanites. That's where they got the crops. The Canaanites had planted. The Israelite people were given that land, and the crops of the land were theirs, and they were to slay the Canaanites. So they took their crops too. They got their crops, they got their houses, they got their cities. They were to move in and kill the idol-worshipping Canaanites, because they were offensive to Yahweh. So they were to kill them. Verse 13, and it came to pass, when Yeshua was by Jericho, that is Jericho in English, with a J, it doesn't have a J in Hebrew, there is no J, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man. That's 3, 7, 6. In other words, that is gender specific, a male figure before him with his sword drawn out in his hand. Remember Bileam, son of Beor, that was to curse Israel? And he didn't see this guy until his ass crushed him against the wall. He was beating the donkey, and Yahweh spoke through the donkey, and then all of a sudden he could see this guy up right by him with a sword drawn out? Well, here we go. There stood a man before him with a sword drawn out in his hand. And Yeshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversary? 6:8, 6:2. He didn't realize who he was talking to. Verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain, 8:2, 6:9, of the army, 6:6, 3:5, of Yahweh, am I now come? This was a messenger, a divine warrior messenger of Yahweh, what they want to call angels. They're not winged, they're not touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy. These guys are killers. And Yeshua prostrated himself, 5:3:07, in other words, fell down. That's from Nafal, that's 5:3:07, fell down before him, 64:40, on the ground and bowed down, in other words, 7:8:12, prostrated himself and said to him, what say my Lord, that's 1:13, that means my Lord or my master, to his servant, 56:50. He realized that this was a divine messenger superior to him. And he called him my Lord, in other words, my master. He was going to take orders from him because he knew he was sent by Yahweh. Verse 15, and the captain of Yahweh's army said to Yeshua, remove 5:3:9:4, your shoes, 5:2:7:5, or sandals, from upon your feet, because the place upon which you stand is holy, 6:9:4:4, set apart. And Yeshua did so. The same order that was given to Moshe at the burning bush. So you see the analogy here between Yeshua and Moshe. Moshe received this order, and before Moshe, when Yahweh moved the water of the Sea of Reeds and stood it up upon as a heap on both sides, Yahweh for Yahshua stood the waters of the Jordan River up in a heap and let the people of Israel pass over on dry ground as they did through the seabed of the Sea of Reeds. And now he's being told to take his shoes off because he's standing on holy ground in the presence of a divine being sent by Yahweh. So there's the similarities right there. That Yahweh has made with first Moshe and Yahshua. People don't think of that. They don't teach this in the churches. Like a lot of things they don't teach. And that ends chapter 5 of the book of Yahshua or Joshua. Now we'll begin chapter 6. And verse 1 of chapter 6, you can reference the book of Yashar, or Jasher, 88:13. Chapter 88, verse 13. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Now Jericho, now that would be Jericho with a J in your English, was completely closed up, and that is 5462 doubled. It's 5462 and 5462 together for the emphatic completely closed up because of the children of Israel. They locked the gates. They were scared. None went out and none came in. Verse 2. And Yahweh said to Yahshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, and the king of it, and the mighty, 1368, men of valor, all their warriors. They're yours. You're gonna go in, and you're gonna slay them because I'm gonna be with you. Verse 3. And you shall march around, that's 5437, the city, all men of war. All the warriors, the women and the children stay back. The armed men. You shall march around the city, all men of war. Go around, 5362, the city one time. Thus you shall do for 6 days. That's 8337. 6 days. Now, march around is sabab. That's 5437. And go around, 5362, is Nakaph. N-A-Q-A-P-H. Verse 4. And 7651, priests shall bear before the ark 7 shofars, that's a ram's horn trumpet, of ram's horns, 3104, and that is Yobel. And that's where we get Yobeli or Jubilee. It's the Yobel, the sounding of the ram's horns. That's the year of Yobel. When they sound the ram's horns, they are called shofars, and it is a liberty. All debts are canceled. Well, that's where they get that jubilee. It's Yobel, ram's horn. And the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, not one time like the first 6 days, seven times. And the priest shall blow, 8628, with the shofars. They're going to be sounding the shofars. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they draw out 4,900, that is mashak, as a long blast, that when they draw out the sound with the ram's horn, 7161, keren, that's another word for ram's horn. When you hear the sound, 6963, that's literally the voice or the sound or noise of the shofar, all the people shall, and this is one word, shout a war cry, 7321, with a great, 1419, war cry, 8643, and the wall, 2346, of the city shall fall down, 5307, where it stands, in other words, in its place, 8478, and the people shall ascend up, 5927, every man straight forward, 5048. Now you've got the ram's horn, 7161, the sounding of the shofar, all the people shall shout a war cry, that's 7321, that is Ruah, with a great war cry, 8643, that is Teruah, and the city shall fall down from Nafal, 5307, where it stands, 8478, and that is Tekoth, in its place. And every man shall just go straight forward, and they were to go in the city and wreak havoc. They were to kill everybody. Except one family. Rahab, the innkeeper. Verse 6, and Yahshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven shofars of ram's horns before the Ark of Yahweh. And he said to the people, pass on and march around the city, and let those that are armed, 2502, pass on before the Ark of Yahweh. Verse 8. The women and children will follow behind. They were to be held back. The men of war were to go first. Verse 8. And it came to pass when Yahshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven shofars of ram's horns passed on before Yahweh, that's the covenant, the ark, and blew the shofars, and the ark of the covenant of Yahweh followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the shofars, and the rear guard, 622, came after the ark, the priest walking and blowing the shofars, the rest of the priests and the rest of the people. Verse 10, and Yahshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor utter a sound, 8085. And 8085 here literally means cause to be heard with your voice, 6963. You shall not cause to hear your voice. That's literally what it says. Neither shall any word go forth from your mouth until the day I say, shout, 7321. Then you shall shout. In other words, walk around. The only sound is going to be the sound of the shofars, and everyone is to keep silent. Now shut up. Don't say one thing. Just all these silent people, all these armed men and all these people marching silently around this city with the shofars blowing and the Ark of the Covenant. This is intimidating. It's psychological. They're instilling quaking fear into the people in that city because they worship pagan gods. And there was only one family of Israel in that city, family of Rachab, and they were the only ones that were going to be saved. They had the scarlet thread, the scarlet cord outside the window to signify this house by the wall is off limits. You are to harm no one in this house. Well, that's coming up. Verse 11 of chapter 6. So the ark of Yahweh went around the city, going about one time. That's according to the commandment. They are to walk around once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Verse 12. And Yahshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of Yahweh, and seven priests bearing seven shofars of ram's horns before the ark of Yahweh walked continually and blew the shofars. And the armed men walked before them, but the rear guard walked after the ark of Yahweh, the priest walking and blowing the shofars. There was only seven priests going beforehand, and the rest of them with the people were the rear guard. So before and after the ark, they had priests walking and blowing shofars. Seven in the front and the rest of them in the back. Verse 14. And the second day they marched around the city one time and returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. They repeated this 6 days in a row, one time around, waking everybody up in the city. They were all up on the walls watching this procession of all these warriors and then all the rest of the massive horde of the people. There were a lot of Israelites out there. Oh boy. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day, notice the seventh day, that they rose early about the dawning, 7837, of the day, when it was light enough to see, and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. The holy number seven again, seven times. Only on that day they marched around the city seven times. All the other days they went around once. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the shofars, Yahshua said to the people, shout, 7321, because Yahweh has given you the city. Verse 17, and the city shall be devoted, 2764, and that means to destruction. It and all that are in it to Yahweh. Only, 7535, Rachab the innkeeper, 2181, that 2181 can mean harlot also, but it means innkeeper here. And you can see Josephus Antiquities, which I read, 5:1-7. Only Rachab the innkeeper shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now here's verse 18. This is a warning. And you shall in all ways keep, 8104, in other words, guard yourself from the devoted things. The ones that are devoted, that are going to be in Yahweh's treasury. Don't take anything belonging to Yahweh. Those are devoted. Lest you make yourselves devoted, 2763, for destruction. When you take the devoted thing and make the camp of Israel devoted to destruction and cause it trouble, 5916. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated, 6944, in other words, set apart to Yahweh. They shall come into the treasury, that is 214, of Yahweh. Everything else is to be destroyed. Okay? One guy didn't obey. He saw something that he liked, and he saw some money. That's coming up. That's in chapter 7, which we will cover tomorrow. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the shofars, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the shofar, and the people shouted with a great shout, 8643, that the wall fell down where it stood, 8478, Tekoth again, in its place. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight forward, and they captured, 3920, the city. Now, verse 20, you can reference the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 30. This massive sound crumbled the wall. Yahweh made that happen. The sound, the audible sound, the vibration of that shout made that wall collapse. And here's verse 21. And verse 21, you can reference the book of Yashar, that's Jasher, chapter 88, verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young men and old men, and oxen and sheep and asses with the edge of the sword. They even killed the animals. Verse 22, but Yahshua had said to the two men that had spied out the country, go into the woman innkeeper's house and bring out from there the woman and all she has as you swore to her. Verse 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, 4940, her clan, literally, and placed, 5117, and placed them outside the camp of Israel. In other words, they brought all her furniture and everything she owned. That was safe by covenant. They didn't destroy all her stuff. Verse 24, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was in it, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of Yahweh. Verse 25, you can reference the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 31. And Yahshua saved alive Rahab the innkeeper and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelled in Israel unto this day because she hid the messengers which Yahshua sent out to spy out Jericho. There were Israelites that had left Egypt before the big Exodus. A lot of the tribe of Dan had left. They were seafarers. And they went up into Dan's Mark and all the places that they went. Well, there were other Israelites that were not in the Exodus, but they were still of Israel. We're talking a massive amount of people here. And they trickled out. You know, one or two would leave with the family. But the majority were in Egypt. Verse 26. And verse 26, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. And Yahshua promised 7650 at that time. Now 7650 means on an oath, saying, cursed, 779, cursed be the man before Yahweh that rises up and rebuilds this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation, 3245, that's one word, lay the foundation, of it in his firstborn, 1060, and in his youngest son, 6810, he shall set up the doors, 1817, of it. So he knew that was going to be rebuilt, but the man and his family that rebuilt it would be cursed. And you can read in 1 Kings 16:34 about that. verse 27. So Yahweh was with Yahshua, and his fame, 8089, was throughout all the land. Okay, you can guess that in the weeds there were folks hiding and watching. Okay, these other kings in this land had spies, and they were watching all this stuff. And you can imagine the reaction of these kings when the spy comes back to him. He says, "Oh, Your Majesty, the waters of the whole river just stopped and mounted up, and was a great wall of water, and the land before it was dry, and all of these Israelites came over on dry land, and they built this pillar, and then when their priests came up out of the river, all the water came back in. These people are just like what happened with the Egyptians all the years ago when the Sea of Reeds parted. And they walked through the Sea of Reeds, and then it came in and drowned all the Egyptians. Oh, Your Majesty, it was terrifying. Oh." And you can imagine that report to some Canaanite king, and that old boy's sweating right about then. They weren't fearing Israel as much as they were fearing the deity of Israel, Yahweh. Because they knew a man couldn't make that happen. And they had all these wooden stone idols, and they would worship rocks and trees and the stars and whatever. Everything that Yahweh said that we're not supposed to do, they were doing. And that's why they were devoted to destruction. That's why they were to be killed, because they were pagans. And they were sacrificing kids and having orgies and doing all this pagan stuff. Okay? Well, none of their so-called gods ever did anything. But all they were hunks of wood and stone. They were carved idols and cast idols. They cast them out of gold and silver. And they'd pray to them and do all that rigmarole that they did. And they didn't do a thing. They were inanimate objects. They didn't have any life. They didn't have any power. They were just objects. They weren't deities. So when they see the deity of Israel, Yahweh, part waters and stop a whole river and let his people come over on dry ground, they had heard the story of what happened with Egypt and the Sea of Reeds, but that was years ago. And they didn't see it. Well, now they had a spy see what Yahweh's doing. And then they had people out watching when Israel marched around Jericho. This huge, walled, fortified city. And they didn't know what to think. And they watched them march around. They march around once. And the next day, they march around once. Well, this went on for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched around 7 times, and they blew all the trumpets, and everybody shouted, and this big, huge, fortified wall fell down. Crunch! And all these Canaanites were living in their fortified city. And they're thinking, doesn't seem that wall is going to be any protection for us. which kept everybody else out, all the rival tribes, and been good so far. But these people, this people has a God that goes with them, and he makes stuff like this happen. He knocks down walls like our wall. What are we going to do when they get here? These kings are sweating. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. So they'd pray to their little wooden stone idols. Maybe sacrifice a few of their children. Burn them up. Pray to Molech or whatever. The god of what's happening now. That they had some carving or some rock or whatever. And it didn't do them any good because they weren't really divine beings. They were just a hunk of stuff. And meanwhile, Israel is proceeding on. It said right in that chapter that the hearts of all these people melted from fear. They were afraid because of what Yahweh did, not what Israel did. They were just walking around the city. Yahweh knocked the wall down. They wanted to cross a river. Yahweh parted the waters. Israel didn't part the waters. Israel didn't knock the wall down. Yahweh did. And the Canaanites weren't familiar with a real divine being that went with Israel. They had the Ark of the Covenant with them. And that was where Yahweh dwelled. He dwelled in their camp. That's why they set up that tabernacle in the wilderness, wherever they went, until Jerusalem, when Solomon built the temple. Well, they had that tent up on the mountain before the temple with the Ark of the Covenant and everything in it, and that was the spot where Yahweh chose to put his name. Well, eventually Solomon built the first temple. But until then, he lived, basically dwelled in a tent. His presence came down to that tent and rested between the cherubim on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And that's where the high priest would speak to Yahweh. That was his dwelling place. And this was walking around with them. Well, they hadn't taken any of the cities yet. They came to Jericho and they shut themselves up behind this big wall, and it didn't do them a bit of good because Yahweh knocked, they must have been doing some bad stuff in Jericho, because he had them, they all died except for Rahab and her family, her Israelite family that were living in among these Canaanites. They were living in the Canaan. Well, Abraham lived among the Canaanites. He bought the field of Machpelah from a Hittite. They were all in the land. They lived among them. Well, as time progressed, the Canaanites got worse and worse and worse and worse, and Yahweh brought Israel out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. He brought us out, and we wandered, and then we argued with Yahweh and Moshe, and then we got punished and had to walk around in the desert, in the wilderness, for 40 years, and until that generation that was rebellious among us died out, except for two men. And then they had a whole new generation that got to pass over the Jordan River and into what would become the Promised Land. And this is that story. This is what happened. This is the beginning part of this conquering of the land that was given to us to be taken from the Canaanites and would be Israel's possession. They have two words in verse 17 and 18 here that are mistranslated in the King James. They're translated accursed. And that's wrong. Those words are 2763 karam and 2764 karem. They both mean devoted in some manner, depending on context. Here it's devoted to destruction, and the second is devoted for Yahweh's use, similar to being consecrated when used of an object devoted for use in the temple. And when you use these words of an evil people or a city that is opposed to Yahweh, such as Jericho, it means devoted to destruction. There's no curse implied. In verse 26, number 779, arar means curse. In chapter 7, tomorrow we're going to see where an Israelite disobeyed and brought punishment upon Israel. And you have Rahab in chapter 6. You can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 5. Rahab was not a harlot, okay? Rahab later married Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N. He was a prince of Judah. And their son was Boaz, and Boaz married Ruth. And they say in the mistranslations that Ruth was a Moabite. She was an Israelite and occupied Moab territory. And their son was Obed. And all of these were in the line of King David, down to the line of the Messiah. And a prince of Judah would never marry a harlot. But the position of an innkeeper was an honorable occupation for a pure woman. She was living there with her family. She wasn't whoring out of that building. It was an inn. And the crimson thread viewed from the window is a sign of royalty. So another little hint as to who Rahab was. She was probably of the tribe of Judah and was of pure blood. Well, I've run out of time, folks, so I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem to all of you, and I will talk to you tomorrow when we go into chapters 7 and 8. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Lord.